Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Miss J.
Yay!
And I'll tell you, we got a really good show for you guys today. But before I go any farther, I would like to ask Miss J if she wouldn't mind taking the pleasure on bringing our special guest home.
Absolutely. First of all, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And if you're listening by phone and you want to join the conversation or just comment on something that we're talking about, just please select 1. And if you listen online, you know, all you got to do is dial that 213-943-3664 and select 1 and join the conversation that way. But we're really excited. I'm especially excited because you guys know I love the babies. And today we got Leon Washington. What I love about him is that he's fighting for literacy. He's partnered with other barbershops and other individuals to make a difference in his community. But before we get into details about his greatness and what he's doing, Leon, just tell the audience a little bit about you, because I know you got a radio show and some other things. So just fill them in a little bit about you.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you very much for even having me, and hello to the community. A little bit about me. I'm 34. Yeah, I had to think about that for a second. I'm 34. I am a college graduate. I went to school for recording engineering, which is pretty much like producing. I would be the person who sits behind the board and basically makes the people sound the way that they sound when you hear them on radio. I actually went in with that and came back home to Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was born and raised. I went to school in Florida, Orlando, Florida, to a school called Full Sail. And I came back home. I've got some background in IT, in which case I have a certificate. I also do have a radio show, which is called No Lyrics Radio. We are just getting started with that. It's something that I had going before, but the place that was doing it, the city stopped funding that particular place. They were allowing people to come and do free radio shows. What my radio show is simply all I do is play instrumentals. No words, hence the name, No Lyrics. And I am the organizer of this wonderful program, HAIR, which is an acronym for Helping All Inner City Read.
Yes. So tell the audience a little bit about how you got started. What moved you to take this step? Because as we discussed earlier, you know, you're not a parent. You know, you're a single guy. You could have picked anything, and you're in entertainment basically. So in radio, you just could have done anything. But what made you feel a need to, you know, partner with barbershops and get this started for the kids in your community?
It was something that I saw on Facebook probably about 2 years ago. There was a guy in Iowa, as we were discussing, that was doing something similar to what I was doing. As we were discussing, he was an actual shop owner. And then there were other people that were doing the same thing, but they were shop owners. The difference with me is I'm not a shop owner. I don't cut hair at all. And again, I don't have any children. But what made me actually start the program was I was watching an interview on CNN, I believe it was, and they talked about this school-to-prison pipeline. And
yeah,
what that is that the prisons actually base their population off of third-grade reading and writing test scores. So if a child does not know how to read or write by the third grade, they're more likely to go to jail. And that put something on me and in my heart where I was just like, I have to do something. And lo and behold, this came back to fruition. And actually, a barber that I know personally reached out, because I pretty much challenged barbers in my city, but I wasn't going around like how I am now. And I just put it on Facebook, and one of the barbers reached back out to me and told me he wanted to do it. And his name is Wade the Barber, by the way. Shout out to Wade.
Hey, Wade.
Yeah, he came back and said he wanted to do it, and he just sparked that fire in me. And we're about 70 cuts in 1 month. In the month of August, we did 70 haircuts. Let's see, we had, and that was in 2 days with 3 barbershops. So for September, I actually have 14 barbershops as well as beauty salons, because we added beauty salons for the little girls as well.
That's right. Black girls rock.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's right. You know, Leon, explain to the audience exactly what you guys do at the barbershop.
Okay, so what it is when the kids come in, it's a learning environment. So your typical barbershop, things are not happening, like no TV. There's no music playing. All the kids see is pretty much other kids reading. Even the kids that are waiting are reading to actually get their hair cut. They're actually either looking at the book reading the book that they're going to read to the barber, or they might just see a book that they like. However, it's very important that the actual children read books that are on their level. Because you can just have a whole bunch of books and kids will see, they'll go to whatever attracts their eye. Even though they can't read it, they'll like the pictures on it, you know. And so from there, once the child is ready to get their hair cut, they actually get in the chair with their book and they read to the barber as they're getting their hair cut. So the barber almost is like that child's mentor or that child's teacher for the moment, for the time being, while they're receiving their haircut.
And that's why I love that. That's why I shared the pictures of the kids actually reading while they're getting their haircut, because to me that spoke volumes. It's different than just to give a kid a book and say, go home. But if they got a question or they don't know a word, you know, it mm-hmm. just builds that connection. You know, and that's what I like about it.
The children are actually able to take the books home, too.
You know, I was thinking, while you were speaking, Leon, you know, this is a program that can go throughout the United States, because we need that, especially in the African-American communities, or what you can call it, the poor communities or disadvantaged communities. We need that.
Right.
We definitely need that, and I would like to see that in my neighborhoods. I would like to see that program in many other neighborhoods. And to be honest with you, I'm going to see what I could do to push that, get some barbers to, you know, help you out in it and give them your information, because I like that. I really do.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michelle.
All right, because it is going on in other communities, like it's in Chicago. It's in other neighborhoods. I mean – but I think what it is that, like you said, it'd be great if it just continues to grow bigger, you know, because you got to have a designated person in that area that's going to make it work, because he can't do it from Ohio. So he's going to, you know, you got to have somebody that lives within that community that's going to hit those barbershops, that's going to hit that beauty shop and be consistent. And then you got to supply the books, you know, so
that's also...
It's one of the reasons why we are doing a book campaign, Leon and me, this month, because you got to have books. You either you got to buy them or we need them donated. And that is where it's easy to say, but having those books and then particular types of books, that's the challenge. And that's why I was encouraging like all the children authors and the indie children authors to donate books of color, because it is time for kids of color to see books that look like them. And there's some great books out there.
Yes.
Because I belong to a lot of... So that's the challenge right there.
Matter of fact, Ms. J, you got one. Afro Man.
The kids
need to definitely read that book, because it tells them a lot. I love it.
Yeah, and we got a bacteria book that talks about germs and how to teach kids about germs and bacteria. It's a coloring book also. So it's a lot of things out there, but we just got to get people to participate. Like Leon is just one guy But it's like the guy, like he mentioned earlier, in Oklahoma, there's a guy in Chicago. I think it's a guy in New York. We got kicks and books in New York. I mean, it's different people coming up with different ideas. They always get stuck because people don't want to help, and that's what we need is the help. Great programs
right.
don't last and don't work without help.
Well, the reason
right.
why I wanted to, you know, actually refer them to Leon is because he's not a barber. He's not, you know, he don't cut hair. And he know, he got the program to where as though you can get other barbers to participate in that program. So, you know, some people might have the idea. Some people might
right.
have the ideal, but they don't know how to present the program to them. And so a lot of barbers will say, nah, I don't really want to do that, you know, and things of that nature. But if you get somebody that know how to present the program and he can teach them.
Right.
You see,
I get where you're coming from. But then
yeah,
we also got to remember that the community got different attitudes. I mean, I'm
mm-hmm.
not saying that, we got to be honest.
Right.
We can't go out here pretending
right.
like everybody black with a barbershop and beautician going to say, yes, we're going to save the kids. So, you know,
right.
you got to know your community. That's why I said you got to have, whoever does it, they got to make sure they foot soldiers in their community. Having information and not being a foot soldier ain't going to work. That's why I'm just reiterating that, you know, he can tell
yeah.
them what he did, but he may have to tweak it for his neighborhood, or she may have to tweak it for her
right.
neighborhood. We just,
right.
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want you to think that they can do exactly what he did because he know his people.
Right.
They got to learn
right.
their people. Yes.
And you know what? To speak on that topic, there are a lot of I ran into a lot of no's too. You know, I can say that. And one thing that I can say, and I hope that they're listening too, is that I'm relentless. So if they said no one month, I came back the next month. You know, I chose to go on Fridays and Saturdays. That's one day that I know it's going to be busy in your barbershop or
yeah.
in your beauty salon. So if you do decide to say no, I usually leave it, and sometimes I express to people that my city, for one, is number 5 in the nation for child poverty rate, Cincinnati, Ohio, number 5 in the nation.
Wow, that's high.
That's very high, and if you live here, you will look around and you don't see it because Detroit is number 1. Now, you can see that. You can physically see that. You know, it's desolate up there. You know, it's pretty bad in Detroit. You can see that physically. But when I look around my city, I don't see what they see up there. You know, there's not a whole bunch of abandoned houses and, you know, it's just not a lot of that. There's a lot of life here. So that was something else that jumps out. But I always leave people with some kind of fact about what's
yeah.
going on with these children. And
yeah.
I do that on purpose because I know that when they either said no, either the person that's in that chair or somebody that's waiting or just anybody that's around, either they're going to either question them, you know, like, hey, well, why didn't you do that? You know, because I always ask them, like, hey, if this program was around for your children, I'm sure you would want them to participate in this program, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
You know,
and by the tweaking. Yes.
Right.
You know,
right.
and
a
like
lot of people, they're going to say yeah. They're going to say
and,
yeah, you know.
And Leon, you know, like you were saying, you know, about the pipeline, you know, from school to prison. You know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of people probably heard of it, and probably a lot of people probably didn't even hear of it, you know.
Right.
But what you're saying
yeah.
is that is true, and you can bring that to people's attention. You know, that's why I think someone that's already doing it, you doing it, and you proving that it works, okay?
Right.
And with that, you know, you can help a lot of people because a lot of people, you might, I might tell them about it, but I'm not doing it. So I don't know if it, you know, I don't even know how to actually present the program that you have because I don't know the program.
And you know what? What's so funny about it is, I'll tell you exactly what I did. Like I said, I started with one barbershop, and in the first month, I didn't even have a letter at all. Nothing. I would just literally go to the barbershops that was in my neighborhood, and I made up a day that me and one barber agreed on, and we was like, okay, well, I was like, okay, well, I'll do 3 days. And so I chose a certain week, and I just went around my neighborhood, and I literally asked people. Some barbershops I stayed, you know, 5 or 10 minutes explaining what it was. I didn't really have a gist of how I was actually going to do it, really. You know,
yeah.
I was just honestly somebody who was just passionate about the ideal of it and knowing that it was going to help. And that's the most fulfilling thing for me. And to be honest, I've just been blessed. It's been a tremendous blessing. Like I said, we started off with 3 barbershops, and I've grown that to 14. And I'm literally by myself. I don't have any help. People, don't get me wrong, we have people that donate their books, which I am so grateful for. But as far as like being out, I can't be in 14 places by myself to take pictures or even to make sure that the program is actually functioning like it should in some barbershops. You know, some barbershops might even cheat. You know, they might not, you know what I mean? Like, but I try to choose and I pray for discernment to choose the right people, you know, because some people are probably doing it for publicity, you know. They want to be on the news or be known for, you know, certain things, you know, and then you actually have people who are actually dedicated to the actual cause of helping a child. Because the real payoff is, and I say this proudly to barbers, I say, you know, you're trading the wrong thing. See, you're trading $20 instead of 20 years because $20, yeah, you might miss that $20, but 20 years from now, that same kid can come back and say, hey, because you participate in that program and I came here every month, I'm a writer now. I'm a poet. I'm a film director. You know,
yeah.
Just because of you helping me read Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, you know, this is what I am, and that's the real payoff.
That's the real payoff, right. King. On real talk. That's the real payoff.
And the good part about it, when you help others, it always come back. God,
right.
It might not be that person going to help you, but God has sent somebody in to help you when time of need. That didn't happen
That's
to
right.
me many a time. Many a
God
time.
God is a good God, I can tell you that.
That's right.
That's
you know, I was at, this happened, I never told Miss J this, but I'm going to show you. I always help people some type of way, okay? And one day I was at the gas station, and this happened to me about a year and a half ago, and I'm glad you say that because it made me bring back this, and I want to share this. I was at the gas station, and I gave them, I didn't have no cash on them, but I gave them my ATM card for me to pay for the gas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My ATM card, for some reason, it wasn't working. But I had money, okay? But I don't know if it was the server that gas station had or what. And I was on empty. My light was on, and I say, oh, man, now I'm going to have to try to make it all the way to the bank, you know, to get some cash out or to ATM because they didn't have no ATM up in there. And so it was a guy in the back of me. He said your car won't work. I said, nah, it won't work, man. I'm dead on empty. Man told the gas station people that the attendant, he told him, he said, go ahead on and fill up his tank. I said, what? But, you know,
wow.
You just never know. And the guy filled up my tank, man.
Wow. I know people who literally do that. That's what they do. They go around and they look for people who have those type of situations, and that's like
yeah.
That's the way that they give back. That's the way that's the way that
that's
they're
the
they top.
because I have no other, you know, because what else I do besides I don't get out very much right now because of my current situation of caregiving. So if I go to the store, like this morning, I bought a girl breakfast, a pregnant girl. I knew she was hungry.
Yeah.
She kept pretending she wasn't hungry. So I was getting my dad and my grandmother breakfast, and I bought her breakfast. My niece does it all the time, too, because it doesn't matter how you tithe. As long as you tithe, it could be your time,
that's
it could
right.
be money, it could be a meal. The whole purpose of tithing is giving, because
that's right.
if you give, the universe will always make sure whatever you tithe for, you're never without. You're not without the gas you need. You're not without food you need. You're not without a roof over your head. I think people
that's
think
right.
they only got to tithe in church, but you can tithe outside of church and still be blessed. So, you know,
that's just a
good lesson for us. But let's talk about your upcoming dates so that everybody will know about your upcoming dates.
Okay, so I have for September, we will be on the 24th, 2026, which is a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We will be cutting from the hours of 3 to 7 p.m., of course, because the kids are back in school now, so we have to actually cut a little later on in the day. So that's another thing that I'm just so thankful for is that, you know, we cut on days that most barbers aren't even in their shops, you know, and then on top of that, they're cutting later on in the day. So, you know, these people are actually really dedicated to the cause.
They really are.
It's really been an amazing journey for me, you know, just learning and just talking with different people and just pouring my heart out, you know, really, you know, that's, again, it's really not me. It's all him. I can't explain it. You know, I know that, you know, I know that, but what I wanted to say was, one thing that is tremendous that I want to let you guys in on, I haven't really told too many people, but for the month of October, we will actually be moving to one central location. So what I've done is I was able to talk to a barber college, and he has all the chairs. And so what I thought was pretty cool, an actual barber told me that this would be more better for him. He said, well, why don't you try to find a central location and put all the barbers in one spot so it would be like a networking promotional event for the shop owners. They could promote themselves, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, that would be pretty cool. So I've teamed up with the Barber College, and for the month of October, we're actually going to be in Premier Barber College in Roseline for the last week. I believe it's the 26th. It's the last Monday. So it'll be switched to just one Monday out of the month. Now, the problem where I am running into is because it's one central location, because it makes it easier for me, honestly. Instead of, like I said, for this month, I got 13 different places to try to be at one, you know, that's crazy, you know. So it makes it easier for me, but it puts the pressure on the parents because now they don't, it's not a barbershop in their neighborhood that's actually participating in the program. So they have to find transportation. If they're not driving, then they have to find transportation. So, of course, I thought about that, and I said, well, how can I actually, you know, try to do that? And I haven't gotten to it yet, but, you know, I'm believing that it's going to happen. But I've been reaching out to churches and daycares to actually ask them to donate their buses to pick up children, because we have a couple of project housings here where there's literally no grooming for the children, hair grooming for children in walking distance. Nowhere near. The kids, of course you're going to have your hood barber in there that's, you know, cutting up everybody, but, you know, there's still like that right there just did something to me completely. Like, are you serious? Like, all these kids, and those are the kids who could mostly benefit from the program, would be those kids sitting in those project housings, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm running into roadblocks with these with some of the churches and some of the daycares, you know, because some people are federal regulated, you know, they can only, their insurance only can cover certain things. So,
yeah,
you know, the guy, he gonna work it out though. I'm faithful and I'm confident.
Yeah, another question I wanted to ask you. How do you get your kids? What type of advertisement you do, or how do you get the kids to join your program?
I'm pretty much on social media. I hit social media pretty hard. And then I actually hit the neighborhoods that really could use the, you know, the actual program, you know. So I try to go to communities where it's pretty bad, you know, and within my city, you know, I try to go there and really advertise the program there because I feel like those kids could benefit the most. So actually we are planning, and I have been writing to a few different schools because I want to take the program to a school. And I feel like if I can get it in a school, then I could actually start to do what you were saying as far as starting in a whole network. I would love to have a network of barbers in different states that all participate in this program. That would be awesome. You know, so I'm working slowly but surely.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta do it step by step. Do order, your steps have already been ordered, so you listen to your order. Because usually when you deviate from your orders, it messes everything up. You do it according to what your orders are. And once you complete that order, whatever is supposed to be opened up, it will be opened up. But stay on path, because we get so distracted with people giving us additional ideas or, you know, telling us what they would do. I got so now when somebody told me what they would do, I said, well, go ahead and do it then. If you need to go, please do it. I don't even want to hear it no more. If it's so boss, you do it, boo. You got it. I'm going to do it.
Right.
This is my assignment. We have to learn to stay on assignment.
You're right.
And that's what a lot of people get messed up with.
You're right. It's your assignment. You can definitely mess up things.
That's right. That's right. I can definitely say that I have been places that I have been going. I'm not really doing too much fighting with these people, you know, like if you don't want, because I feel like how you just said, Ms. J, you know, my steps are ordered and I know I'm on the right path and I'm doing something that is fulfilling to my heart, you know, so I know I'm doing a good thing and a good service. So, you know, when I walk into doors and it's a big, you know, fight about this or that, and you know, I'm like, no, I don't. This is not the door I'm supposed to go through because my door is already open. It's not that they're not like, hey, who are you? The door I'm supposed to walk through. They like, hey, we've been waiting on you.
you know, the only thing that I can see in a program like that, the only thing that I can see is somebody not getting, you know, with the program, is that they're money hungry, you know, because you know for a fact that these barbers make a decent living, you know, if they got clients. But, you know, something, you know, giving up something for free, you know, and that's the way they would think that. Well, I got to pay my bills, you know, I got to pay this or I got to pay that, you know, not knowing that if this thing here take off, you know, and especially you might be able, you could turn it into a nonprofit. I don't know if it's a nonprofit or not, but if you want to turn it into a nonprofit, me and Ms. J got a hookup for you, you know, to where.
I was actually thinking about that, you know, just making the hair, because right now it's up under my radio show. So it's just my radio show presenting it. But I would like to make the whole program, you know, a whole nonprofit organization itself. So I would definitely be interested in that.
Yeah, because, you know, you can get some cash. You're talking about calling the churches and have them, but you can get your own, you know, trucks. Well, not trucks, but, you know, your own vans. And
buses,
You can do a lot with a nonprofit, you know, especially. And something like that, man, to be honest with you, like I say, Ms. J heard of it, you heard of it, but I never heard of it. I never heard of nobody doing this, okay? And I've been around.
We're in the king's circle. We're in the kids circle. Mm-hmm. When you're in the kids circle, we part of the kids circle group. Anything but
okay,
you know, when you're in the youth group, you see it more because you're getting those contact. You know, you're getting those hit ups. Did you see this? Did you see
this?
You know that? Do you know that? But I want to backtrack on what you said about the barbers. They also have to remember that in the community that they work in is the community that help pay their bills, right? Barbers and beauticians. And to build a relationship, I always think about the movie like Barbershop and Beauty Shop. They built relationships with their community. So even when things went bad, their community had their back. So I think people think, oh, it's just a movie, but that's real life. You know, you have to give back to your community. Like Barbershop, they bought tennis shoes for the young man who needed tennis shoes. You know, they always got a tennis shoe jar, you know, or, you know, whatever. So we got to remember that even though that is your profession, that is your income, but you also got to remember those people that you are blessing that come here to spend their money to get that $200 weave or that $20 haircut. And bringing their sons and their uncles and their granddaddy and everybody else in there, you got to give back too. Because if they didn't come in, you still wouldn't make no money. So, you know what I mean? Not being, you know, rude or anything, but that's real talk. If they not coming, you still hungry. Your bills still not paid. But maybe you take one day and give it away, they maybe bring five homeboys in to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you just don't know. You got to be able to give back and not, I think a lot of people always want to give with the expectation that somebody owe them. When you give, you just waiting on your blessing because it's guaranteed to be a blessing. That's
right.
Somebody testified to.
That is right. That is right.
I look at what you're doing, Leon, is definitely uplifting your communities, your community.
Absolutely.
You know, I just love it, man. I mean, I really, really do.
There was one young lady who had two boys, and she came in. And the first time I did it, we were able to team up with a place called Grade A Uniform. Shout out to them. It's a black-owned uniform store here in Cincinnati. And they actually gave away – you don't see many of those, so – you know, I was proud to be able to team up with them, and they actually contribute five. They gave away five free uniforms. In this story where with this young lady, I was actually able to give her one of the raffles to get uniforms. I mean, and she teared up, and it was just a real, you know, it was just one of those moments for me just to know that I helped somebody like that. You know, it just made, like, all the no's that I went through and all the people, you know, all the discouraged, whatever, that one person, you know, took away all that. You know, it didn't, none of that even mattered. That was my, like, encouragement to go for the next time. Like, just, you know, I helped that one person, you know. So it's like I said, it's really been a blessing and a learning experience for myself.
Wow.
Oh, that's so nice. I like stuff like that.
Yes, yes. It's always good to touch somebody, you know. And I'm sure that's something she'll never forget. And she went crazy on, you know, on Facebook. Just, you know, just off of that, you know. Just, you know, she just rant and raved about the program, how she loves it. And, you know, just telling people, like, hey, if you wasn't there, you missed the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it was just awesome. She wrote a nice, very nice post about us.
Yeah. Because you changed her life. You know, because sometimes we get down sometimes. You know, we get low because we just can't catch a break. Then all of a sudden, God just give you a break you never expected, right? So that changed her life. Like, that just was like, man, okay, God, you didn't forget me. You see me.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's right. I got a friend who told me a story one time, and he said this guy was out on a boat, and he was out in the ocean, and a big boat came by, and said, hey, you know, you need some help? And he said, no, God got me. Another boat came, and same thing, no, God got me. Another, he died.
Uh-huh.
He died in that boat. And the moral of the story is that blessings come through people, you know.
Right.
we are sent to bless other people. You know, that's what your purpose in life is. I had to just bury my brother, just yesterday actually, and at the funeral, I was able to basically say that at the end of the day, you really have to be able to be fearless, because if you hold on to your gifts, you bury them. You know, there's a parable in the Bible about that, about the talents. And when he gave five to one, he gave two to one, he gave one to another. Five double his, the two double his, and the one said, "Master, I know that you would be mad if I didn't do anything with it, so I just buried it. And you know, I could take you to it. It's right over here." But you know, the example was that he sent him into the darkness, because what I got from it was that the man basically buried his talent and he exposed his fear, when he should have actually buried his fear and exposed his talent.
That's right.
His faith. That's right. He should have stepped out on faith.
That's right. That's right. And so this is what you got to do.
Hey, check this out. Now, it's funny you say that, because a lot of people, you know, like, I do a lot of reading, do a lot of researching, and I pick up a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? You know, knowledge on certain
mm-hmm.
things. And I give it away, you know? I let people know. Like, for example, it was a lady, she was looking for some help. I told her to call 211. She never heard of 211 before. But 211, you know, is throughout the United States, the phone number, 211. And, you know, and they assist you with if you need a place to stay, if you need your utility bill paid, if you need, you know, whatever you need, you know, they have the resources to direct you to go get what you need. So when I told her that, she was shocked, because she dialed a number and it was a live person came on a phone. And
wow.
And I had never heard of it neither until somebody told me.
John,
right.
I've been around a long time. That's been around a long time, dude.
Yeah, I know it, but I've been knowing it for a long time. I know that, well, I mentioned it in my documentary, but, you know, like, and I just remember that number. That's a number that I always did, that I always remember. Now, in certain states, now you can dial, is a number that you can dial is 311.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and get help with that, too. With all depends what you need help with. That's for the county that you live in.
Yep.
And it's about go on the phone. You know, you dial it, you go on the phone and you tell them what you need, they'll help you. Well, they'll direct you, you know, to their resources.
Yeah, don't be tricking the folks thinking they're going to get some free stuff, John. Have all them numbers blowing up. They're going to blame you. Say, John told them.
Right.
I'm going to I got it from Mr. Leon Washington.
Like a lot of people don't know about the mega bus. You know how you can go around the country on a mega bus for $20?
Right.
People don't know about the mega bus. They always try to hop on that Greyhound. They better learn about the mega bus.
Yeah.
And you know what? Since we're on the business of sharing some information, I don't know if a lot of people know, but one place that I've been looking at for sponsorship is Fifth Third Bank. Fifth Third Bank they call it the community commitment, and they're going to be giving away $30 billion till 2020.
Yep.
So, and they're supporting financial literacy programs. So that's one thing I'm adding to my course as well. Once we get it into the schools, we will be adding financial literacy to it as well. But if there's anybody out there that's listening and you got something that's got to do with finances, or you are a major in finances, or you know something, a thing or two about finances, put yourself together a program and shoot it at Fifth Third, because they're giving away $30 billion till 2020.
Yep, they sure are. I think I posted it when it first came out, but I'll repost it because I know I got the post somewhere. I keep everything I post. But, yeah, they're doing the campaign. And they're not the only ones. It's somebody else. I think, oh, the people did the documentary America to Me, and I posted that. They're also asking young people to create their own documentaries about what their experiences are in school, and they're also giving away scholarships and money. I posted that on my page. So it's a lot of, because I want, you know, it's a lot of opportunity. A lot of people say, well, I ain't got a good camera. Nobody asks for no perfect camera. You got a cell phone, use it. Just
right.
Tell your story. Sometimes just telling your story, like you're telling your story, Leon, will spark somebody else to think, well, God, he didn't have no idea where how it was going to turn out. He had no plan. He just walked out there and got it done. That'll let somebody else know you ain't got to have no business plan, a whole bunch of partners,
nope.
A whole bunch of money. All you got to do is have a good heart and some good feet.
That's right. That's right. And I must add to that a good foundation, too, because it's going to – I tell people all the time, there is going to be a point in life, no matter who you are, where smarts is not going to get you through. It's going to come up short every time. And it's going to take heart, will, and courage to get you where you need to go. At the end of the day, if you don't have those, it's going to be a long day for you, buddy.
Right. You know, since we're speaking on the on foundations, I set my foundation, and I try to stick by it as much as I can, is through the Ten Commandments. I try to live by that. You know, that's just me. It works for me. Thou shalt not steal.
Right.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I mean, different things like that should not kill. I set my foundation and try to pass it on to other people. And I think that if you can set your foundation to that Ten Commandments, I really do believe that that's the foundation God put for us to live. That's just my belief.
I'm in agreement with you, and I'll also say when I speak of foundations, it starts with your parenting. You know, the family that you come from. You know, I was taught a long time ago that, you know, when you walk out of this house, you represent not only yourself, but you represent this family.
That's
you
right.
know, so I was always taught that as a child. You know, so I apply, and I'm so grateful for my parents because I'm able to instill that into the young ones that's coming up in my family. You know, I tell them that all the time. You know, and like I have two mothers. One of my mothers, well, they're not like together. Like one mother is married, and the other one is married. But one of them, one of them used to correct me all the time, and I mean. She would correct my speaking all the time as a child. And I would hate it. You know, I couldn't stand it. But from her doing that allowed me to learn how to speak properly. And it helped me so much within my life. Just that simple little thing that she did. And that was just around the house. It wasn't like we was around people. You know, she did that literally every day around the house. If she caught us talking, you might be on the phone in your room. Ain't is not a word.
That's right. Leon and Ms. J, we only got 45 seconds left before we, you know, go off air. So I'm asking
Ms.
J.
Oh, man, I have so much fun.
That's Leon talking too much. Again, no. No, we like to thank, you know, we got 45 seconds, so I'm going to make this quick. First of all, Leon, thank you for coming on the show. I really enjoyed it. I'm sure John did, too. We really appreciate it. I usually say if you got one positive thing to say, what would it be? But it got to be real quick, so shoot it out, Leon.
Take care. Be powerful and be courageous and be fearless.
Absolutely. And John L. Brown.
Thank you for coming on, Leon. And back to you, Ms. J. We have 0 seconds.
That's all right. We can do this. Get pros. Well, thank everybody for coming and listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. And I'm going to post the information so you can reach out to Leon. And without you, there would be no us. So we humbly thank you very much for joining us. You could have been anywhere else, but you were with us today. So we thank you. Peace and blessings, and good night.
Good night,
thank
everybody.
You. Good night.